to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 11th of December 2019, as we build up to the President's Cup. And things got a bit spicy yesterday. Have a listen to this on the first tee as Patrick Reed was introduced.
Next on the tee, the excavator.
Not bad from one of the crowd there. Although it did sound like a United States accent as well. So he had a bit of fun with it. The crowd had a bit of fun with it. And it's certainly adding to this week. Ernie Els poured a bit of fuel on the fire.
We'd like to kick their asses this weekend.
Ernie Els, captain of the international team. We'll hear more from him and Tiger and Louis Oosthuizen and a couple of the Aussies as well in the build-up to the President's Cup, which starts tomorrow. Meanwhile, speaking of tomorrow, a bit of cricket happening over in the West as well. It's going to be hot, hot, hot for Australia's first test against New Zealand. And Justin Langer has suggested that there'll be no change.
Give brave men to change the 11. The boys are playing well. We've still got a couple of training sessions. We haven't had a look at the wicket yet, but I'd say at this stage it'd be more than likely we'd both have the same 11.
Interesting how that selection philosophy has completely changed from 4 months ago while the Ashes was on and that rotation policy. More on that in just a tick from Justin Langer as well. And let's finish with the footy world, where Marcus Pontepelli, one of our very own here, member of the Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club yesterday, was announced as the Bulldog skipper.
It was an incredibly humbling sort of experience to have the announcement today, and it doesn't take you long to probably reflect on the past leaders of the football club, particularly obviously Woody's sitting here as the previous skipper of the club. It's it's an incredibly humbling feeling.
So much to get through on what was a busy day of sport yesterday. Let's get started.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half Whitey and Sherelle to guide you through your Wednesday. There's plenty to get through as well. We'll have a fair bit of golf. Stuart Appleby, who is the captain of the Junior President's Cup international team over the last couple of days, he'll join us. He'll be able to give us the insight into how the course is playing at Royal Melbourne and also his experience as part of that President's Cup team and what to expect from the internationals and the Americans this week. Marcus Pontepelli will jump on the line too. New Bulldogs skipper. We'll have a chat to him about what he's been up to in the off-season and also taking over from Eastern Wood. After 8 this morning, Aaron Pike, who we spoke about yesterday on the Breakfast Club, he has secured a spot in the British Open next year after his finish at the Australian Open on the weekend. Great news for him. It'll be his first major, I think, and we'll have a chat to him after 8. Dave Barlow also from Melbourne United as they gear up for what will be a massive contest on the weekend against the Sydney Kings. And then Scott Jamieson at 7 o'clock this morning, captain of Melbourne City, in the studio for the Summer Sanctum 2. Don't forget the early mail before 7 as we will try and get you a winner. Let's start with the President's Cup. And as you heard a few fighting words off the top from Ernie Els, Patrick Reed was in pretty good spirits yesterday, considering he's going to be the butt of all jokes this week at the President's Cup. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about that controversial incident over in the Bahamas where he was penalised for improving his lie.
Well, it's not the right word to use. At the end of the day, whenever you're out there, if you do something unintentionally that breaks a rule, it's not considered cheating. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. If you're intentionally trying to do something, then yes, that would be considered cheating, but I wasn't intentionally trying to improve a lie or anything like that. Because if I was, it would have been a pretty good lie and I would have been able to hit it really close. Well, it's just wrong. It's not right. Afterwards when I saw it and when I talked with Slugger, immediately both of us knew that it wasn't from intent or anything like that. And, if you intentionally try to do something, then it is considered cheating. But if you're not intentionally trying to give yourself a good lie or intentionally breaking a rule or something like that, that's not considered cheating. It's just considered breach of rule. They're not supposed to talk good about us. We're not supposed to talk good about them leading in this event. That's normal. At the end of the day, all I can do is control me and what comes out of my mouth. Can't control what comes out of others. It just turned in from now all of a sudden wanting to beat those guys to now turning personal. So it's going to be a fun week.
Patrick Reed, I reckon he might enjoy himself this week at Royal Melbourne. To Tiger Woods now, he has played a couple of times with Patrick Reed for the US team in the Ryder Cup most recently, and he was quick to defend him.
I think Pat will be fine. Pat's a great kid. He's He's handled a tough upbringing well, and I just think that he's one of our best team players, and it's one of the reasons why all the guys wanted him on the team.
Tiger Woods defending Patrick Reed. Louis Oosthuizen from the international team, the South African, he wasn't holding back.
He brought that on himself. I think he's going to have a tough time with the media anyway. I'm not really going to get into it. I mean, it looked like a very stupid thing he did. So it doesn't look great for him, I can say that. I mean, it's going to be a tough one to get rid of. It's going to be all on him, what he really feels inside what he did. I mean, obviously it looks bad from the outside. It does not look great. So that's something he needs to feel inside, and that's the only thing that we can probably, you know, say for that. I think it would be something that everyone will address. The team would probably want to sit with him and talk it out, and if it was one of us, and I mean, if it was someone on my team, I know a bunch of us would ask him straight the question, and then probably take it from there.
Wow, wait, it is definitely heating up, and Patrick Reed feeling a lot of it heading towards Royal Melbourne tomorrow. We'll hear a little bit from Mark Leishman on Patrick Reed later on, and also Ernie Els, who was asked about his players' criticism of Patrick Reed. They're not the only ones as well, with plenty around the world coming for him. He seems to be the gun for a lot of people. The Heat's definitely going to be on him this week. More golf to come. Let's head to the cricket now, where Justin Langer yesterday, as you heard off the top, mentioned that it looks unlikely there will be any change to the 11 that were able to defeat Pakistan in the second test in Adelaide. And now we move to the pink ball test over in Perth. He spoke about the selection policy and the philosophy of the selectors, and he reflected on how it used to be and how it's been over the last 6 months.
There used to be a philosophy in Australian cricket which works so well for us. It's harder to get into the team than it is to get out of it. And that usually happens when guys are playing well and the team's playing well. So we've won the last couple of test matches. There's definite benefit and advantage in keeping the core group of players together, and hopefully this will be another opportunity this week to do that. Oh, no, it can require it. It's certainly there was benefit in that in England. We had six healthy, fit fast bowlers available to us, and they're different conditions. We had a very specific game plan about how we thought we'd retain the Ashes, and so we used it to our advantage there. There's some different conditions here in Australia. The SCG might be different than Optus Stadium or the Gabba, for example. But at the moment, the three guys, Mitchell Stark, Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood, they're a formidable combination with Nathan Lyon. They're bowling really well. They're fit and healthy. There's a bit of a gap between test matches. So from that point of view, that'll probably be the best way to go about this test match.
Justin Langer there on the selection philosophy, which seems to have shifted a little from the Ashes, where they had that rotation policy for the bowlers. Looking towards the Kiwis now, and JL couldn't be more impressed by the culture, not only of New Zealand cricket, but New Zealand sport in general.
Not only the New Zealand cricket team, but I loved the culture, the seemingly culture of New Zealand sport, where obviously the All Blacks, the New Zealand netball team, now the New Zealand cricket team, they're number two in the world in Test cricket. They made the World Cup final, of course, and arguably should have won the final. I'm sure it still breaks some New Zealanders' hearts. But they're a very, very good cricket team. They're talk about that continuity. They've certainly got that. They've got a seasoned bowling attack. They've got the aggressor in Wagner, potentially Ferguson. They've got guys in the top 10 in Test cricket. They've got one of the great players in their captain who not only plays with great skill but great humility. So we have huge respect for New Zealand cricket team and New Zealand in general. So it's going to be a great contest. We can't wait for this contest.
Do you expect Trent Bolt to play?
I expect we'll be planning that he's going to play. He's obviously outstanding, so we'll be planning that he will be playing.
Let's head to the Kiwi camp now, and Trent Bolt's opening bowling partner and Tim Southee spoke yesterday, says the Kiwis are very grounded heading into this series, and spoke about that pink ball.
Yeah, I guess it's nice to be ranked out there, but I think the beauty of the side is that we
play what's in front of us, and we have done for a long time. We don't get too far ahead of ourselves. Our next challenge is obviously a test match out here, a pink ball, so it's something that's still reasonably new to everyone. But yeah, our focus is the next couple of days training, and I guess that transition from the red ball that we've been playing with to the pink ball now, which we're going to be faced with in the first test. Yeah, I guess it's a chance to, I guess, adapt to that with the pink ball. Obviously, Australia had a pink ball test against Pakistan. We've just come off two red ball tests against England. So it's yeah, we've got a few days training here and to I guess accustom ourselves to that pink ball. Yeah, I guess it changes at times. We've played two pink ball tests, and it does swing for a little bit. But also, I think if you can get through that as a batter, then it can be nice to bat as well. So I think it's about assessing the conditions and what's playing out in front of you.
Tim Southey there speaking yesterday. To the other major news from yesterday, it came from the AFL world, where Marcus Bontempelli was announced as a successor for Easton Wood in the captaincy of the Western Bulldogs. This is what he had to say about the appointment.
It was an incredibly humbling sort of experience to have the announcement today, and it doesn't take you long to probably reflect on, you know, the past leaders of the football club, particularly obviously Woody sitting here as the previous skipper of the club. It's a, you know, it's an incredibly humbling feeling to be recognised in this way, and you know, hopefully I can do my best to lead the group in the way that they need it to be led. It gives me great confidence. I mean, Woody and I have obviously, being his vice captain for the last couple of years, has given me a great experience to obviously work closely with him and help him and support him in the best way I can to lead the football club, and to still have him obviously here and part of the leadership group is obviously going to be really useful, because I know how good a support he is for not just, you know, us as leaders, but the whole group.
Marcus Bontempelli speaking yesterday. Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up from the latest from the Champions League with a few live games in action at the moment. EPL, rugby, boxing, NBA, plus the rest of the build-up to the first test against the Kiwis and the President's Cup as well.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Now the goalkeeper panic-stricken has just presented it straight to Minnick. A horror moment for the 17-year-old, breaking records tonight. But a lack of composure in the biggest game of his career has seen him undone inside 2 minutes.
Audio courtesy of Optus Sport there, as the Genk goalkeeper had a shocker at trying to take on a couple of defenders. They tackled him, put the ball as easy as you like into the back of the net. They trail Napoli at halftime 3-0 in the Champions League. Meanwhile, Red Bull and Liverpool are locked at nil all as well. Salzburg, that is, over in Austria. So nil all at half time there. A couple more games to come later today. We'll keep you updated with Chelsea and Lille, who play at 7 a.m. this morning. Ajax and Valencia, as well as Inter Milan and Barcelona, which is a massive game. Two huge clubs there in Europe going head to head. Speaking of big clubs in Europe, Chelsea is one of those. They've been on a transfer ban enforced by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. However, that ban has been halved, and they're now actually able to get players in and out of the club in January. Frank Lampard, the coach, says they might well be very active.
Well, I think you'll be careful with being too reactionary, and ban lifted, defeat at Everton. It's quite easy to come to that conclusion, I suppose. And just as much as people at the start of the season were saying, we've got all these young boys, this is going to be no problem, we don't need any players. I think as a club like Chelsea, there's a balance. You have a strong squad, which I believe in that we have, but you have to look at, can we strengthen? And there will be, I think, times going forward, whether it's January, whether it's next summer, of course, we're going to look at the opportunity to strengthen because we want to improve.
Let's head to the boxing world now, where Jeff Horn is gearing up for his rematch next week with Michael Zarafa. This is what he had to say after an intense training period, probably more intense than last time when he got done.
Yeah, it's great to be able to spend some time with the kids and to really appreciate that time that I can have throughout the days and things with them. Yeah, it's been really tough this training camp. There's been 3 sessions a day, all tough, making sure that my body's in the right nick for this one, and I don't want to lose again. Yeah, look, we're trying to emulate the fight, and we're doing 10 really hard sparring rounds, and then we're doing another 12 or so rounds on top of that of just conditioning work. So it's some tough sessions, and we're going to train hard so we can fight easy. No, I've been able to cope with Glenn gone at the moment. I've had Dundee Kim step in. He's such a great coach as well. So it's been good to be able to have him as well on board.
I'd like to meet Dundee Kim. Sounds like a very aggressive man there who has been helping Jeff Horn train. Let's head now to the Australian Sport Awards last night, where Sally Pearson was speaking as she entered the function. And of course, she was asked about one of the hottest topics in world sport, the banning of Russia from international sport for the next 4 years.
Well, it's for athletics, it's been like that for a little while now. I mean, 2016, they didn't get to go to Rio's, and it's been like that every single year. They've been going under the neutral flag. So for me, it didn't feel like anything different. It's just, it's nice that the other sports can now take notice and, I guess, follow in our footsteps, in athletics' footsteps, and putting the ban on their sports as well for the Olympics and for the next 4 years. I guess for WADA to be able to do that and recognise the fact that Russia is not complying with the rules, and they need to be punished for it, I suppose. It is disappointing because there are a lot of athletes that don't do drugs and they are out of the system and they live in different countries as well, so I understand the whole competing under the neutral flag as well. So I guess in a way it's good for them but also bad, because they can't compete for their country because their country isn't trustworthy. Well, I was quite fortunate, I didn't have many Russians in my event, so there was no drug cheats in it. Well, there wasn't any Russian drug cheats in my event, I should say, but I guess for the other events, like especially for the distance runners and for the throwing events, it's been really disappointing, and the multi events in athletics as well, they've taken a lot of medals away from other athletes, so it's been disappointing. But at the same time, for our sport, we do show that we are standing up to them and we are penalising them and giving that medal to the rightful owner.
Sally Pearson there speaking on Fox Sports last night as she entered the awards ceremony. Ash Barty, meanwhile, named Female Australian Athlete of the Year. Scotty James, the snowboarder, named the Male Athlete of the Year. Let's head to the NBA now, where yesterday, turning back the clock, was Derek Rose able to get the Pistons over the line with a buzzer beater against the Pelicans.
Derek with the drive over Holiday. Hits it as time runs out. Derrick Rose wins the ball game.
105 to 103, the final score there over New Orleans. The Pistons just winning it there. The Grizzlies also beat the Warriors. Suns over the Timberwolves, and the Thunder beat the Jazz. Couple more games to come today, with Ben Simmons back in action for the 76ers against the Denver Nuggets. That one tipping off about midday Melbourne time. Let's now head to the rugby world, where there's been a bit of news. Another code switch here. Tipai Marora, after making the switch from Parramatta, he's going to be playing for New South Wales in Super Rugby. A couple of players doing this at the moment.
I've always wanted to come back to rugby, and, you know, it was one of those decisions where if I was to come back to rugby now, you know, now would be the time to come back. 24, you know, if I left another couple of years, I'd be 26, and you'd be thinking, oh, it's a bit too late to make that transition. Come back now, at least I've got a couple of years to hopefully, you know, cement my spot. Hope it doesn't take that long.
Before we head back to the build-up to the President's Cup and also the first test against the Kiwis, let's stop by the footy world with Tom Lynch from the Tigers. He's fit and firing to go, which is a scary prospect considering this time last year he was on a very much a scaled-back program in his pre-season.
Been in everything at the moment, so it's nice to be out there this time of year, and instead of in the gym and swimming in the pool, so it's good there. I can focus on a bit more of my craft and things like that compared to this time last year when I was just sort of battling to try and get fit for round one. And obviously want to build on this last season and hopefully improve a little bit going into this season.
To a couple of the Shield results from yesterday, two matches wrapping up after we, of course, had that match abandoned at the MCG. South Australia getting their first win in a very long time, over 700 days, by 6 wickets over Tasmania. It will be remembered, though, really, for George Bailey, who received a fantastic farewell, even got a bowl, and he did it with the cap on as well. Nice to see him in the baggy green cap of Tasmania having a trundle. Have a listen. The commentators were a little surprised.
Are they going to give George a bowl? They're looking at Bailey. Oh, yeah. Okay. Are the cameras here?
They are. This is excellent.
The cameras are here. We're going to get this.
Why not? This is so, so good.
This is good.
George Bailey getting a bowl, and he's going to bowl in the cap too.
In the cap.
Oh, this is excellent.
It was excellent. Unfortunately, he couldn't get a wicket on his farewell, but George Bailey there wrapping up his domestic career for Tasmania. So the South Australians able to close that one out by 6 wickets, 4 for 170, chasing down the target in the final innings. New South Wales also had a win as well, though you couldn't really see much.
Bowls, and Solway works it around the corner. They take a single, and that is victory to New South Wales by 9 wickets in this Marsh Sheffield Shield match against Queensland here at the Sydney Cricket Ground.
They bowled out the Queenslanders on day 4 for 176, so their target was only 42 in the final innings. They lost just 1 wicket, New South Wales winning by 9 wickets. They've had a fantastic Sheffield Shield series so far. Now a bit of a break while the Big Bash is on, and the Shield doesn't return until mid-February, so we'll have to wait for a bit of four-day action. Wait a long time, really, with that break for the Big Bash. To the golfing world now, and as mentioned before, the build-up to the President's Cup continues, and the heat continues to be poured on Patrick Reed. Let's have a listen to Mark Leishman on the American, who's come under plenty of fire over the last few days.
I mean, I only saw what everyone else saw, so I guess we've all made up our own minds about it, and yeah, I think, you know, we're just going to let that one go and try and beat him on the course. I think, you know, we've said enough, or I've said enough about it.
Leish playing it down a little more than a couple of his colleagues on the US team. Ernie Els was actually asked about his players' criticism of Patrick Reed. They've come out swinging.
Well, I think it's totally natural. You know, these guys are competitors, and obviously they didn't like what they saw, and they came out, and it obviously you guys asked them questions about it, and they were pretty new questions. You know, like Tiger has, we're moving on. You know, we've got a cup to play for.
Let's finish with Mark Leishman, the Aussie, who spoke about his good record with Cameron Smith. It looks like they might well be paired together again this week.
Yeah, I think local knowledge is pretty big around here. So I won't say that I won't get paired with Cam, but I think I'll be probably paired with other guys who maybe not need guidance. I mean, everyone's a great player. We learn new courses every week, but I think it might be good just to have some experienced guys with the younger guys as well. So, yeah, we don't know exactly what Ernie's going to do, but, yeah, you probably got a good idea with the pairings that we had in the practice round today as to what he's going to do. I think the course sets up pretty good for a lot of the guys on our team, and I feel like we've bonded a lot better this year compared to the past President's Cups that I've played in early in the week. So, you know, generally by Saturday we're really comfortable with each other. I feel like we're comfortable with each other now, so I think that's going to be a good thing for us as well.
And let's finish on Justin Langer, who spoke about having no fears for the new Perth Stadium and a few cracks that might open up, considering it is going to bake over there, 40 degrees, for much of this test.
Yeah, we played here last year. Yeah. There's been a couple of Sheffield Shield games on here. We played the Australian A team played Pakistan here a few weeks ago. What I do know, it's an unbelievable venue. It's magnificent. The outfield's like a skating rink. What I've seen in the past, last year in India, that was certainly what we're looking for in Test cricket. It was a great contest between bat and ball. There was a result. It was entertaining cricket. It was fast and bouncy, and I'd expect that the same here. Obviously, the conditions are going to be very, very hot. Traditionally in Perth, when it gets hot, you get some cracks in the wicket. Having played here for a long time, they're usually more psychological than have a physical impact on the game. But there, I'm sure there'll be some cracks that open up, and it's usually part of the drama of the contest here in West Australia. So, look, I think it's going to be a very good wicket. Hopefully there's some pace and bounce. Hopefully there's a contest, because that's what we need in Test cricket.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite this Wednesday morning. Half Whitey and Sherelle up with the Breakfast Club after the 6 o'clock news.